All right, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord on this Lord's Day, March the 6th, Sunday morning. I hope I got that right.
7th, brother.
7th, March the 7th, Lord's Day, Sunday morning. We've had a little bit of a debate in here on what day it is. I know it's Sunday, but our brains this morning about like scrambled. We ain't got clarity of thought. I've had two messages on my mind all night long, and even this morning, quite a ordeal trying to decide which one the Lord wanted me to preach, and I'll take either one of them, but I'm pretty sure I'm on board with what the Lord wanted me to preach this morning. But we just praise God, being the house of God.
Amen.
On this beautiful
Amen.
Sunday morning, this Lord's Day Sunday morning. Good to be saved.
Yes.
Good to know not only that I am saved, but good, this Sunday school lesson this morning is a good lesson to confirm your salvation. We're looking forward to this Sunday school lesson this morning. And we want to praise God for the good news we got this week concerning Sister Bonnie's son. And we praise God for that.
Yes.
And also, I had good success putting a water pump
yes.
on a 2008 Chrysler Pacifica. I'll never undertake that again. Not only did it take me 10 hours to get it off and 3 days to get it all completed, today the 6th?
Yeah.
Well, we finally got a unanimous decision. Today is March the 6th. And anyway, I'm just glad I'm here.
Amen.
You know, hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Well, we got that water pump on there. I've never done so much praying all my life about being able to accomplish that task. But we thank God that we got it fixed. Was able to drive over here, drive our wife's car. She couldn't even go to her doctor's appointment because of the car, so we got all that behind us. Next week will be a busy week taking her to the doctor and all of that. But we just thank the Lord that He was able to help us to do that. Amen.
Amen.
And I realized why nobody wanted to do it after I'd done it. I have to admit, it wasn't no small matter. Amen. We finished up Romans chapter 9, and we're starting in Romans chapter 10 this morning. And
Brother Eddie, before you get started on that, let me explain to these folks that are out here online this morning. You need to comment so I'll know who you are. I can see you out here, but I don't know who you are until you say hello. And that's all you got to do is say, hello, I'm with you.
Or, hey, ma'am.
You know, I'm watching your service. And just write a little bit something on there and send it, and then I'll know who you are. I'd like to say good morning to you.
Amen. We're thankful for those that do watch and those that do listen and those that do come to the services here at Landmark. I've got a lot of people asking me where this little church is. And I was looking for some cards because I wanted to make sure I gave them the right address and the right direction to get here. And I thank God for this little church. I'm telling you, it might be little in size, but it's big in what it's doing for God. And we just praise God for all the different ministries in this little church. And we invite all. I don't care if you're pro or con. We invite you to listen in.
Mm-hmm.
We won't tell you nothing but the truth.
That's right.
Amen.
You might not want the truth, but we'll give you the truth anyway.
That's right.
And I'll tell you right now, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. So if you want to have a one-on-one, I'll tell you right now, old Brother Eddie ain't that hard to find. You call me up or you get in touch with me and we'll meet and we'll talk. We'll go this route right here. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? I mean, it's down to this right here. Let God be true, and every man be a liar. God's the only one I know that can't lie. We come out of the womb speaking lies. But if you line up with this Bible, we'll be on the same page. Amen.
Amen.
Romans chapter 10. We'll go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege to stand for the Word of God.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, in this Laodicean day, Lord, that we're living in right now, when we've got wars and rumors of wars, Lord, we've got, Lord, trouble on every side. We've got people, Lord, the love is waxing cold. We've got people, Father, falling afar off. And we pray they draw nigh to God. Lord, especially right now, Lord, this is an urgent time. It's time to seek the Lord while it may be found, time to call upon Him while He's near. If they miss Him, Lord, before you come back and don't get in touch with you, then, Lord, they'll be left, Lord, to endure great tribulation.
Yes.
And they'll wish they'd got in touch with you. They wish they hadn't been so procrastinating. concerning eternal things like God's Word and God's will and God's work. Lord, bless our efforts here today. In Christ's name, we ask your blessings. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Paul here is writing to the church at Rome. Paul was an Orthodox Jew. I mean, he was at enmity with Jesus, with the church, with the gospel. I mean, you're talking about an unlikely candidate. Yet Jesus said that he was a chosen vessel unto him. God chose him. He didn't choose Jesus. We'll speak about that here in a minute. But when you listen about Paul's testimony, he mentioned in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he said in verse 13, well, we'll read verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy. I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. He wasn't a believer. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
Yeah.
He said, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy. That's the second time that he mentioned he obtained mercy. Mm-hmm. That in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. Can you imagine Jesus putting up with Saul? And I'll mention him here in a minute.
Yeah.
For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now, when I'm talking about Paul,
that's why he changed his name. He couldn't put up with Saul.
Paul was...
I heard the preacher say that.
Yeah, Paul was his Gentile name.
Yeah.
Saul was his Jewish name.
Right.
We'll read just a little bit real quick here before we read, teach out of Romans chapter 10. It says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter, I'm in Acts chapter 9, verse 1, against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. He wanted permission. He wanted to have the power. You know, this pandemic gave a lot of people power.
Yes,
and they kind of abused that power.
Yes, they did.
And that's kind of what Saul wanted to do. He wanted to have more power persecute and threaten and slaughter Christians. In verse 2, he said, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Thank God for the light.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, I used to walk in darkness and I would stumble and I wouldn't even know what I was stumbling at because I was in so much darkness, but thank God I walk in light now. Well, light shined round about him from heaven and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What a question. Jesus is asking Saul, why are you fighting with me? You know, I know people right now that are fighting with God. They don't want God to be Lord in their life. They don't want to give up their life like they've got one to give up. I mean, in Him we live and move and have our being.
Yes.
But they're living a selfish life. They don't want Jesus to be Lord in their life. Saul here is in that predicament. Verse 5, and he said, who art thou, Lord? Ain't that something? He's got to ask him who he is. And the Lord said, I am Jesus. You know, he didn't mince his words. He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, Paul Saul has been persecuting Christians.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, I'm the one you're persecuting in verse 5. Mm-hmm. Verse 6, and I say this to all you unbelievers out there, and he trembling and astonished.
Yes.
This is a very learned man. Said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And we'll stop right there because I want to teach out of Romans chapter 10. But I want you to know the man that's doing the speaking here in Romans chapter 10, he had to learn the hard way. I did too. Maybe you did.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody don't just fall in. I wished I'd been brought up in church. I wished, the Lord was mentioned in our home.
Mm-hmm.
We had a home and had one of those family Bibles laying out on the coffee table, and I don't think the pages were ever turned. I believe it was opened up to Psalms 23. But, I don't think nobody in my family ever read that Bible. I don't think nobody ever turned no pages in that Bible. We just kind of put it out there like a front, because if nobody was around, you'd hear God's name mentioned a lot, and it wasn't good. And we're blaming God for everything that went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the blame for it all. But Paul now, no longer Saul, he says in verse 1, brethren, he's talking to saved people. He's talking to the brethren in the church of Rome.
Right.
And he's pouring out his heart here. He said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. This one verse we'll spend a lot of time on.
Mm-hmm.
Paul wants Israel, which he's a Jew, he's an Orthodox Jew, he wants Jewish people to get saved.
Amen, yes.
And I picked up a man this week, yesterday, walking on the side of the road and gave him a ride to Bowling Green. And this man, he wanted to be saved too. And we had a very in-depth conversation. I'll be real brief here. But he had made several attempts to be saved. And his name was Mike. And I told him, I said, Mike, you might possibly be saved and not know it. You can only get saved one time. I hope you listen real good to this Sunday school lesson today. Because I am a man that's 100% saved. I'm rock solid saved.
Yes.
I'm on solid ground saved.
Amen.
And I'm going to try to share some stuff with you today that might even help you. Because we're not supposed to be tossed to and fro by everyone to doctrine. We're supposed to be steadfast, unmovable. This man had asked the Lord to save him. And I asked him, I said, did you believe him to do it? And, he was a little bit confused about the subject matter.
Hmm.
And I told him, I said, Mike, you have to ask Jesus to save you. I said, you don't have access to God except through Jesus. Jesus said in John 14, no man comes to the Father but by me. And you can't get to God other than Jesus. He's the mediator between us and God.
Amen.
That's right. But salvation, it's simple. Paul talked about many have done a harm to the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. They've put it out of reach. Jesus kind of commented on that a little bit there in Matthew 23. He said to these Pharisees, and we've got them even today, he said, woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. I'm in Matthew 23, verse 13. He said, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You see, they want people to notice them, not to see Jesus. So they put up a lot of things to draw you away from what you need. And he said, for neither go you in yourselves. He said, you're not going to heaven yourself. He said, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. I mean, they're hindering people, and a lot of churches are in this category. They're hindering people from getting saved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said, verse 14 of Matthew 23, Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widow houses. They're interested in money. And for a pretense, make long prayer. You know, prayer is kind of a personal thing. And I think, you know, that it's a humbling thing to be able to pour out your heart to God. I've done a lot of praying this week working on that car. I'm surprised how intimate I got in prayer asking God for help to get that water pump on there. But these people are for pretense making long prayer. They've got it wrote out. They're reading it. I have to say, I never know sometimes exactly what I'm going to say when I pray. I've got a long list of people I pray for. I know what I'm going to say when I'm praying about those people because they're people that I know. I know their needs, and I'm listing them on in my mind. I don't read it, but in my mind, they're on a list. I pray over them, pray for them. But these people here, for pretense, they're making long prayer.
Yeah.
And he says, therefore ye shall receive the greater condemnation, or the greater damnation. Now notice this verse 15. This month, I was only going to read this one verse. I wanted to read those other two. He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, a convert. Mm-hmm. And when he's made, now this is Jesus speaking, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves.
Yeah.
He said they're blind leaders of the blind. What I'm trying to throw in here is a lot of people have complicated salvation. It's a simple thing.
Mm-hmm.
It took me 34 years to get lost. It took me about 3 seconds to get saved.
Amen.
I like to never got lost. Man, I'm looking in my mirror and compared to everybody else, I look just as good as they did.
Yeah, right.
But the Word of God, it don't return void. It pricked my heart. And not only did it prick my heart, I'm talking about the pains of hell got a hold of me. I realized I was lost, Bonnie. I realized I was going to hell and I only had one hope. And that hope is in Jesus. And you got to get to Jesus if you're lost, because apart from Jesus, you're not going to get saved.
Right.
The Bible said in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So it tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, and I probably should read that rather than just read part of this. It talks about working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. You know, everybody always acts saved when they're in church.
Yeah.
How do you act outside? Now, Paul's commenting on that.
That's right.
He said, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. He said, I got no doubt about you at all. And, like I said, it's easy to be a Christian in church.
Yeah.
It's out there, buddy, when you're with the gainsayers and, the murmurs and the hypocrites and all of that. But he says here, work out your own salvation.
That's right.
With fear and trembling. Nobody would know it more than you do.
That's right.
I mean, I know I'm saved. That's as far as I can get, but I know I'm saved.
Right.
Now, my wife, I'm convinced she's saved. She don't always act like it, but I'm convinced she's saved. Now, when I got saved 34 years ago, I didn't know anything. When I say I didn't know anything, we wanted to join the church immediately after I got saved. And to join Bethel Baptist Church, you had to have, a testimony or a letter or something. So, I stood up. Well, my whole family got up before the church. We wanted to join the church. My pastor, Brother Rick, he said, well, we'll start with Brother Eddie, let him give his testimony. I didn't know what a testimony was. I'd never been in church. I didn't know anything. So my testimony, Sister Sharon, was this. I love everybody in here. Now, I didn't love everybody in there before I got saved. That was a good testimony.
That's right.
But when I heard my wife tell about how the Lord saved her, I wished I'd known that, because I'd love to give that kind of testimony. But I'm telling you, your own salvation. My experience might be different than yours. I was a drunk.
Right.
Hey, listen, He saves all. I'm telling you, He loves all. He saves all. He reaches out to all. Paul here, when he's talking about, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, I've met people, you have too, ask them if they're saved. Right. I hope I am. And I've met others, I'm endearing to the end. I've met others that said, you can't know you're saved. As a matter of fact, I had a boss at work. He said, what do you know? And I said, I know I'm saved. He said, you can't know you're saved. I said, I know I'm saved.
That's right.
But when I'm talking about working out your own salvation,
right,
if anybody ought to know they're saved, it ought to be you. I don't want nobody to tell me I'm saved. I want to be able to say myself I'm saved. And you have to too. Every one of us is going to give account of ourselves. But this working out your own salvation, it took me, you know, I was just a babe in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a couple years to get a little bit of growth to be able to give a man an answer that asked me a question of the reason of the hope that was in me. Paul mentioned to the church in Corinth, he said, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. He said, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Now,
right.
Reprobate is someone that's been rejected of God. And, you know, I was rejected, but I got accepted. I got accepted in the Beloved. I mean, He don't turn no one away.
Amen.
Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, and if He could save the chiefest of sinners, He can save little common sinners like you and me.
That's right.
But Paul here in this plea, in this prayer, pouring out his heart, he said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. What a verse.
That's right.
And you know, I could say the same about us. We've got people we'd give anything if they just
Amen.
Get saved.
That's right.
My granddaughter has already hinted to me she's quit her job yesterday. She's going to start coming to church with me.
Amen.
I ain't just jumped done cartwheels yet. But I'm thankful just to have that little
That's
sliver
right.
of a hope.
Amen.
Amen.
She confesses she's saved.
Yeah.
I confess that I'm saved, but like I said, salvation's a personal matter.
That's right.
I couldn't advocate for her, but I know one that can.
That's right.
I know one that's going to present me, and I probably should read that.
Good morning, Becky.
I know one that's going to present me faultless, and I've got plenty of fault.
Yeah, that's right.
In Jude, I only got one chapter. Verse 24 of Jude, now unto Him that is able, and He is able.
Yes, He is.
To keep you from falling. I fall all the time.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
And to present you faultless before the presence of His glory. I can't stand before Him.
No.
But with His help I can.
Amen.
With exceeding joy to the only wise God, our Savior, and that is seven letters, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Them's the last two verses of the book Jude. He's going to present me without spot in His presence with exceeding joy. In Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to start reading verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Does anybody know what that means? That means unconditional
love,
no matter what.
That's right.
Amen.
Husbands, love your wives.
That's right.
I love my wife. I'd give anything if she was here.
That's right.
I would.
Amen.
I'm like Paul pleading for Israel.
That's That's right.
I'd give anything if she was here.
Lord, bless him.
And I do believe, God, that one day she'll either go home and be with the Lord, and he'll say your husband needed you, wanted you with him, or she'll be here. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I could make her be here. That'd be really good, wouldn't it? Can you imagine being somewhere you didn't want to be?
No.
I want her to be here because she wants to be here.
Right.
But he says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus don't look for fault in the church.
No, right.
I know we husbands, we're real good at finding our wife's fault. My wife's better than I am. And she knows all my faults. I made some chicken noodle soup yesterday, and I thought it was the best ever. Brother Mitchell, she said, that's the worst chicken noodle soup. I ate two bowls of it. I even gave Donnie some of it. And me and the granddaughter, we made it together. Now, I don't know what all, but I did everything she told me to do. I thought it was great. But you know, she's entitled to her opinion like I am mine. I thought it was, I mean, home run good.
Man, bless him.
But anyway, you know, you just got to love them in spite of them. I love her.
Yeah,
sure. I don't care. She just kicks me and calls me everything. I still love her.
Amen. Bless him.
I can't imagine anybody else putting up with me except maybe y'all. I appreciate y'all letting me be your pastor.
Amen.
I know Eddie Wade more than y'all do, and it's a blessed honor to be here. To know I'm supposed to be here,
grateful.
To be accepted to be your pastor is an honor that I thank God for. I appreciate this little church. It means the world to me. Y'all are bathed in prayer. And I'm not going to say you couldn't get a better preacher, but I don't think you get no one that can pray over you more than I pray over you.
Amen.
And we do want to pray over you. We're thankful to pray over you, and we pray that God will continue to bless and answer those prayers. We believe God. But Paul here writing to the church in Ephesus, he says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now listen, ladies, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now Carolyn, she cleaned, and she's got a pretty good profession at cleaning. But you know what? This is even better than that. The washing of water by the word. I mean, I'm telling you, I told your mama used to jerk my arm up and say, what's that rust there? Grab me like a monkey. She said, are you going in and take a bath or I'm going to give you one? And I'd go in there and splash around. Next thing I know, she had me down there. And I'm talking about, buddy, she spared no expenses. Tore the hide off his toe head.
Right.
But the Lord, he cleanses his own church.
Yes, that's right.
Let me read this again. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. We don't need no church service without no word. We need the word.
Right.
Here's why. This is the main verse I was going to read. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. My wife never looked better than she did on the day we got married. She was all decked up. I mean, her hair was just right. Man, her makeup was just right. Her eyelashes was just right. Her smile was just right. Man, I tell you right now, I'm sitting there thinking I'm the luckiest man in the world. Well, the Lord, that he might present his own church to himself, a glorious church, he cleans us up.
Amen. Come on now.
I mean, I'm telling you, buddy, by the washing of water, by the word, he's going to present a glorious church,
yes,
not having spot.
That's
everybody
right.
Said, well, I can't live it. I can't neither.
I can't live it. No.
Nope. But the Lord keeps me from falling, keeps me clean,
yes,
and
right,
he's going to present me without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it might be holy and without blemish. Now, y'all might find fault with Brother Eddie, but when he gets done and y'all see me standing before him, you're going to say, man, he is good. But I'm telling you, buddy, the Lord is going to get all the wrinkles out. He's going to get all the problems out. And, buddy, when he gets done, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be just like the Lord. He's the captain of our salvation. He made our salvation perfect through suffering. Now we're going to preach today a message. I believe it's the one the Lord wants me to preach today. I know this. I want to preach it. I'm looking forward to preaching it. But you know, our salvation, it wasn't cheap. Oh my.
or wasn't.
I'm telling you, he gave his right arm for us. He says that we need not only to be saved. Here Paul talked about he wished Israel would get saved. But you need to know you're saved.
That's right.
Now, somebody says you can't know you're saved. Well, this guy I picked up yesterday, he wanted to know he's saved. And I was trying to give him, you know, some verses, you know, to build a bridge out there where he could get to where he was trying to get, because he just couldn't see no way out there. But the Bible mentions that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 16, which is just right across the page where we're teaching that here. But, you know, that witness of that Spirit. I didn't have that before I got saved.
No.
I was on the outside looking in. But now I'm on the inside looking out. I have the witness of the Spirit of God. Every now and then, I was trying to tell this guy yesterday, Mike. Every now and then I told him, I said, Mike, every now and then I mess up. I said, the reason I know I mess up is because of the Spirit of God. I said, I didn't know I was messing up before. I just done, you know, what lost people do. But now when I do something that I shouldn't do, I get that witness of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not only do I say, Lord, I'm sorry and ask Him forgive me, but I tell you what, I don't do it more than one time. Sometimes if it is more than one, why, it ain't too long, it's not no more.
That's right.
I told him about taking the Lord's name in vain after I got saved. It wasn't intentional. It just happened. And it happened right in front of the men I was working. I had a crew of six men working with me. I'm working on this press. It's wore out anyway. It's a piece of junk. And it ain't cooperating. And Carolyn, I took a hammer and I hit that thing. And I took the Lord's name in vain. It came out before I even knew it came out. But I'll tell you what, when it came out, I didn't enjoy it.
Amen.
And I dropped that hammer, and I fell right in front of those men. I fell down right there, and I said, Lord, I am sorry. I am so sorry. I said, Lord, please forgive me. Help me to never do that again. I was expecting those men to horse laugh me, but they didn't. Those men saw something real.
Amen.
And those men came to me one by one. Some of them got saved. Some of them rededicated. I only had one in the bunch that didn't get saved. William would know him, Bonnie. His name was Phil Zamtuck. Larry Zamtuck was his father. Larry had raised Phil to be an atheist. Phil came to me and he said, Eddie, I truly want to get saved. He said, I've been raised and I just can't do it. I said, well, Phil, it's like this, buddy. You can have it if you want it. You got to let that go. To get this, you can't have them both.
Right.
And you know, I appreciate him coming to me. He was very sincere. He wasn't under conviction, but I'll tell you what, he knew he needed to get saved.
Yeah, amen.
I'm still praying for Phil Zamtuck. Did he get saved? I see him every now and then. He sees me. He sees I ain't changed, and I see him wanting to change. But Paul here, as he's talking about Israel, he declares they're lost. Whew. You ever see a lost person?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they come across like, I'm all right, just the way I am.
Yeah.
I was born this way.
That's right.
My pastor said, well, you can be born again.
That's right.
And, you know, I wasn't happy with Eddie Wade. I just couldn't do nothing about it.
That'll make you happy.
Yeah, I couldn't do nothing about it. Ed's right. I tried to drink, make myself happy.
Yep.
I tried to buy things, make myself happy, but it didn't make me happy.
No.
But I'll tell you what, buddy, April 27, 1988, I got happy in a big way.
Amen.
I've been happy ever since, amen. I'm telling you, hallelujah. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Yeah, yes. Happy is that people in such a case. But, you know, you need help with it.
Yes,
that's
right.
That Holy Spirit of God lets us know that we're saved.
That's right. Amen.
Paul went on to say, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Romans chapter 8, verse 9.
Right.
So we've got the witness of the Spirit to let us know we're saved. I mean, I have to admit, I mean, every time I'm moved by the Spirit of God to do something, sometimes I wonder why I did it, and I realize God did it through me.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody, you know, that he wanted to meet a witness to, and I didn't see it like he did, but when it was all said and done, I realized that God had spoke to them through me, and I learned something from it too myself. But that Spirit of God is one way we can know we're saved. Mm-hmm. Also, the witness of the Word of God. And I do want to turn there. 1 John chapter 5, I'm going to read several verses. I could quote most of them. And I did quote a lot of verses to Mike, but it's better when you read it for yourself.
That's right.
It really is.
Amen.
My pastor, he really emphasizes turn and read. 1 John chapter 5, we're going to start reading in verse number 9. We're talking about a witness, the witness of the Word. Mm-hmm. In 1 John 5 verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Does anybody remember when God wanted to swear to Abraham in Hebrews chapter 6?
Yeah.
When he couldn't swear by no greater,
right.
He swore by his own self to Abraham, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiply, and I'll multiply thee.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 and 14.
Multiply your people.
The witness of God is greater. Mm-hmm. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. I did believe, and I do have that witness in myself.
Right.
He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Some people say, baloney. It's all right for you, but not all right for me. You see, they won't receive the witness of the Word. I've done a lot of soul winning. The Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. Now I'm just going to pretend right here with Brother Mitchell here. I'm going to pretend this is just pretense, just throwing this in there. I'm going to ask him a question and I want him to answer no. And we're just using this as an illustration. Brother Mitchell, you saved? Say no.
No.
What are you waiting on? He'll say, I don't know.
No.
How long you got?
I said,
I don't know. I said, well, if he's going to die tomorrow, would you get saved today? It makes it a little bit more urgent when you put it kind of like that.
Yes, it does.
Then they might ask, what do you do to get saved? But see, you've got to kind of initiate.
Right.
I like it when people tell me they're not saved. Not that I want them not saved. I want them to get saved. But when
right.
they tell me
Amen.
They're not saved, I know what I'm dealing with. When they tell me they are saved,
Amen.
I'm looking there thinking, you're kidding me. You're sitting here cussing every other word.
Yeah.
And you got a joint in your hand or a drink in your hand. And you're telling me you're saved. It just don't add up.
No.
And I wasn't saying anything about Brother Mitchell. We're just using that for an example there.
Right.
You see, it takes a little bit of work to get somebody saved. But this witness of God,
Amen.
If they don't believe the witness of God, it can't go no further.
That's right.
You see, if they don't realize that God gave a witness of His Son, he that believeth not the witness, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son.
Amen.
Now these next verses are real important, so listen real good. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And I do have eternal
right,
life.
Right. Yes, we
Amen.
Do.
Boy,
Amen.
Looking over at your crane, it's good to have eternal life.
I know it.
Now, I'm not trying to get political here, but that could get out of hand that fast.
You're right.
It could go from a small, what they call it, incursion, to World War III.
That's right.
Because they have the capability to do it.
That's right.
If Russia starts firing nukes, anybody got a clue what's going to happen?
Yeah.
You see what I mean? We're sitting on a powder keg right now.
And it'll go off.
And you got a bunch of people down here that ain't got enough sense. They don't have enough sense to blow their nose.
That's right.
I'm just telling you. And they've been put in charge. And they've got what they call the football, and in that is the numbers of the nuclear code. And, I'm not going to call no names out here, but I'm glad I've got eternal life. I want to say that.
Right.
Just due to what's going on right now, how quickly that it could get out of hand, how quickly, you know, those people over there losing everything they've got. I mean, I'm sitting there this morning thinking about my home. It's not a mansion, but it's my home.
Right.
How comfortable I am. I was praying this morning, about 3 o'clock this morning, saying, Lord, thank you for my home. Thank you that you've given me a place to live. Give me air to breathe. You've given me the health to enjoy the days that you've given me. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it ain't fun to live. You don't want to live. You want to go home. I've seen it on both sides of the fence.
You know, Brother Eddie, we had a man come in, and he's from Indiana up there, and Joe Biden put him in office.
Yeah.
And he was going to come around to everybody's house and take their guns. And I said, you know, how does that man know who's got guns and who don't? And then I got to thinking, you know what? They make us register all of our firearms except the shotgun. That you don't have to register.
Right.
But if you got high-powered rifles like we all got these AR-15s, if you got them, you have to register them, dude.
Right.
So you know what they do to get your guns? They don't come to your house and knock on your door. They send a drone over and shoot down on your house and just kill you.
Yeah, what Brother Ed just said there could very well be true.
Yes.
I mean, crazy has passed to new terms, governmentally speaking. You know, when the righteous are in authority, Proverbs 29, verse 2, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15, it says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people.
Amen.
But you know, we take, like Brother Ed said, that we take our home, our freedom, our families for granted. And I thank God that I have eternal life. Eternal life means I'm bulletproof.
Amen.
I don't know if you know it or not, but there's no death in eternal life.
Right.
Now, I've changed batteries in my flashlight all the time because they go dead, but this battery don't go dead.
Amen.
I've got eternal life. And you know what? I'd rather have eternal life than to have Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, and half them other idiots that's got more money and they know what to do with. I'd rather have eternal life. Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world
and lost
his soul? I'm glad I got eternal life.
That's right.
Now listen,
amen.
Verse 11 of 1 John chapter 5, and this is the record that God hath given unto us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. I got Jesus.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Man, oh man. Not only have I got Him, He's got me.
That's right.
Amen.
He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's pretty clear and pretty cut.
Yes,
pretty clear and pretty cut.
Yes, it is.
Oh my. This is the main verse. I read those other verses just to get to this verse. Verse 13. I'm talking about the witness of the Word. These things, this is God speaking here, have I written unto you.
Yeah.
I've got the written witness of God.
Amen.
He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I know I'm saved. I know I have eternal life. Not only by the Holy Spirit of God, but also by the Word of God. God, who cannot lie, told me, He said, I wrote this just so you can know you got eternal life.
Well,
like I said, I was in the restroom and our darling sons worked there 32 years. And I'm washing my hands and a woman walks by. What do you know? I said, I know I'm saved. He said, you can't know you're saved. I said, well, I don't know about you, but I know I'm saved.
Yeah, right.
You see what I mean? I mean, I'm glad I know I'm saved.
Amen.
Paul said, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And the Bible says the foundation of God standeth sure, the Lord knoweth them that are His, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. But also, we've got the witness of others. You got the witness of the Spirit.
Right.
You got the witness of the Word of God. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, wherefore seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I mean, I meet people all the time. I'm telling them, they tell me how God saved them, I love to hear it. And I tell them how God saved me, and they might not love to hear it, but I love to tell it. Amen?
Right.
Don't you get it? I mean, I love to tell it what He done for me. He told that man had that legion of demons. He said, tell what great things the Lord has done for you. I never get tired of telling people.
Amen.
Paul, everywhere he went, he wanted to give his testimony. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, we're on one verse. Romans. Romans chapter 10. I told you I wanted to spend a little while there. And the reason I want to spend a little while there, I don't want nobody's miss heaven.
Miss Bonnie has a question.
Yeah. What do you got back there, Bonnie? You got a question?
No.
Okay. Paul spent a lot of emphasis right here about the lost condition of Israel. And here he is. I mean, he's an Orthodox Jew. We've got a friend in Ohio.
Yeah.
Brother Bob Malkin. And Brother Bob, he got saved.
Amen.
That's hard for a Jew to do.
Yeah.
Amen. Bible mentions they got a veil over their heart. But even Jews that, that witness of the Word of God, it don't return void. It prospered in the thing it's sent to do. The Bible's telling me a lady on the bus witnessed to him, and he ended up getting saved, got a haircut. Hey, I'm talking about got disowned by his own family, but praise God, he got in a bigger family, got in the family of God. But Israel, they need to be saved. And I'm going to go ahead and read this next verse, and we'll stop right here. Paul says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God." They're going. It is not going nowhere.
Amen.
They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. I see people going all the time, but they're not going nowhere.
Right. They ain't getting no course.
Right. And that's what Israel's doing.
That's right.
They look good. Looked like they was good to go, but they wasn't. Saul used to be one of them. He knows what he's talking about. He came out. He gave his... I'm looking at the time back there. But he gave his pedigree. We'll get into that in the next lesson. I know we spent a lot of time on one verse right here. Mm-hmm. But it's a real important verse.
Yes, it is.
Listen, if you was born into this world and you missed heaven, you'd been better off never been born.
Amen. Right. That's right.
And you know what? God don't want you to miss heaven.
No, we don't.
God waited on me for 34 years. Can you imagine that?
Amen.
Brother Ed, I didn't deserve 34 years.
No.
But that hand of God reached out to me for 34 years.
Right.
Sharon, at the age of 34 years, I reached and got that hand.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And I got saved. Everybody, they just look at Brother Eddie and say, he's a fanatic. And I am.
Amen.
They look at him, they say, he's crazy. And I am. But I'm so glad I'm saved.
Yes,
Lord, thank you for this lesson this morning. It was borderline preaching. Lord, we're not making apologies. We're so thankful, Father, for the context of the lesson this morning. Lord, if just one soul could get saved, it would certainly be worth all of what we went through with this one verse this morning. Our goal was like Paul, was to see people get saved. Bless our efforts. Thank you, Lord, for what you've already done. And what you're going to do with this little church. Lord, we just stand in awe, watching your hand working in this little church. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, we'll stop right there. Now, Brother Mitchell, I got something here that I want to give you.